The Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, Destination Cleveland, Cleveland Browns, and the City of Cleveland are all really getting excited to rock the clock, as it's been designated, hosting the 86th NFL Draft, April 29th through May 1st. We have with us VP of Business Development at the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, Mike Mulhall. Mike, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great, Bruce. Good morning.
Yeah, this is great. You know, this is one of those things where the Sports Commission, you guys bring a lot of different events. Sometimes they're sort of secondary sports, you know, like last year there could have been a jump roping championship. You have things related right. to tennis or swimming and sports like that. But this has to be like the Goliath, right? The NFL is coming to town. What do you do to prepare for something like that?
Well, definitely is. We're super excited, obviously, to be able to host an event of this magnitude. It's really been 4 years in the making. I mean, we started the bid process back in 2017, along with the Browns, and we're finally awarded the event in May of 2019. So it took a little while to get across the finish line, but we did make it. And then, you know, just have been planning ever since. Obviously, when we were awarded, we didn't know we were going to be planning in a pandemic, and you know, doing most of the planning using Google Earth and Zoom calls and things like that. But here we are. It's getting ready to happen. It's going to be a large outdoor football fan experience, and we're just really excited that it's coming to a head here, so can't wait to make it happen.
Right, and you've kind of changed the landscape for where this is set up. You're creating something that wasn't there before, right?
Yeah, correct. So basically there's a parking lot with a couple of older dilapidated warehouses northeast of First Energy Stadium that really is underutilized, quite frankly. And through the process of sort of selecting a site with the NFL, we looked at a lot of different areas. They had a vision for constructing a theater on that site, sort of looking back at the amazing skyline of downtown right there on the waterfront. And ultimately, we were able to use that as the impetus to remove the warehouses, which has been talked about for years, but never happened. So we got that done. We got a large portion of the parking lot repaved. And if you drive down there now, you can see the draft theater being erected as we speak.
So let's talk about that for people who are going to be sort of a part of this. I guess there's this OnePass app, and there's sort of free things to do. There's other stuff. Tell me, take us through a little bit of some of the experiences that people are expected to have.
Yeah, no, we're happy to do so. So again, you know, originally the plan was so everything's free. And the idea is, you know, the NFL invites fans of all 32 teams into whatever city is hosting the draft, and you know, they create a big fan experience, as well as you know, the theater where the TV show really takes place. But this year we're in a different situation. You know, we have to social distance. We have to, you know, have obviously much stricter health and safety protocols and things like that. So there's really two events that are kind of taking place simultaneously. Each day is the draft experience, which is really the fan fest, if you will. So using First Energy Stadium, north to the lake, basically east to the Rock Hall, all of that space will be activated by the NFL, whether it's interactive exhibits, tours of First Energy Stadium. There'll be opportunities to actually get on the field and you know, test your skills in a 40-yard dash or kicking a field goal or throwing a Hail Mary, like a lot of really fun interactive stuff. But then there's also, you know, a number of sponsor activations as well as some really cool displays that the NFL will bring out. You know, we have larger-than-life size helmets of all 32 teams. We're going to have the Vince Lombardi Trophy, which is a Super Bowl trophy, on display. You can get your picture taken with it. A display of all, I think it's 54 now or 55 Super Bowl rings. So just a lot of really cool, unique NFL-related experiences. And, of course, you know, plenty of food and drink as well. So that'll be the fan experience. And then each evening you'll have the actual draft taking place. And that will run on Thursday night, which is round one, will be begin at 7 p.m. Friday will be 8 p.m. And then Saturday is rounds 4 through 7, and that will begin at noon. But that's actually within the draft theater, the smaller footprint. Obviously, we have to social distance, so we'll have a predetermined number of fans that are available to go in there, and they will all have to have been vaccinated. So anyone within that draft theater portion will be a vaccinated fan.
Where do I'm trying to think. So there'll be some of the candidates or the potential draft picks.
Prospects,
I guess, is where they are. Kind of different than it was last year where Roger Goodell was in his basement or whatever. And, I mean, it's a whole different thing. People are almost forgetting what this can be like, but we have the opportunity here in Cleveland to kind of set that in motion once again with some protocols in place. So you're kind of balancing sort of that come one, come all to sort of let's keep a little space. What impact does this have on the city? Maybe slightly altered but you're looking for it's a tourist attraction for those coming from fans from all those other cities too, right?
Without question. You know, I mean, that's really, you know, the main reason you want to bid on it, right, is to attract all of those visitors to your city, show it off, hope they want to come back, you know, all of those things. That's really why the Sports Commission exists, is to, you know, to be an economic engine for the city by recruiting events like this. This one isn't going to look like Nashville did in 2019 or you know, Dallas in 18, Philly in 17. Like, it's just not. We know that. They didn't have to deal with social distancing and, you know, the health and safety protocols that we're dealing with. So we're just, you know, we're continuing to work through that. We're going to let as many fans onto the campus as you know, the state and local governments will allow us to, but obviously still have to definitely manage it.
Do they tie things in with the Hall of Fame as well? That's not too far away. You know, people can do a stop here, stop there, that type of stuff too?
Without question. So we're really, you know, we expect that if you're making the pilgrimage to Cleveland from, let's say, Green Bay because you want to see the draft, you know, it's certainly very likely that you'd also want to go down and see the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So they've been partners with us really from the get-go. We knew it was an asset as we were bidding on the event that nobody else has, right? I mean, nobody else has the Pro Football Hall of Fame 45 minutes away. So our actual original bid had the first two rounds in Cleveland and then day three in Canton. But logistically, you know, just the NFL couldn't really pull that off. But they've been a great partner. And, yeah, we expect they're going to have a big week. And, you know, we certainly expect to have a big week in Cleveland.
We're talking to Mike Mulhall, VP of Business Development at Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. I see from your other resume you did spend some time with Destination Cleveland. What do you like different about the two organizations that sort of have a similar goal?
Yeah, we absolutely do. We're actually housed in the same office space, and we share a president and CEO, which is David Gilbert. So we're really joined at the hip, but we do have separate boards, separate budgets, and separate missions. But related missions, you know. So their job is to bring people to Cleveland, whether it's through conventions or through, you know, sort of leisure marketing, like, you know, hey, people from Pittsburgh, come experience a weekend in Cleveland kind of thing. Ours is we're doing the same thing. We're trying to get people here from out of town, but we're doing it always within a sporting event. And so we share a lot of you know, we are able to share resources because ultimately our goals are the same, is to get visitors to Cleveland.
You don't want to overlap too much on your calendar, though, right? You want to spread it out so that if there's good events, you want to make sure you're set for that. But how important is, I guess, sports as a tourist attraction? We know about, you know, the teams and stuff, but there seems to be a lot of different people who are passionate about a certain type of sport or an athletic event that will draw a lot of folks.
Without question. And, you know, I'll give you an example, Bruce. Is a couple years ago we hosted USA Triathlon Age Group Nationals. So it's the biggest event that USA Triathlon has. We ended up having about 5,000 athletes here from all 50 states. I believe it was 17 countries, all here to compete for that championship. We had, you know, astronomical numbers from California and Colorado and Florida and places like that. And if you think about it, you know, as you look at the, you know, sort of the demographics of who is here, it was just so fun to see, because you knew if it weren't for this event, those people would have no business to be in Cleveland necessarily. So that's the data that we kind of look at that, you know, makes us want to go after an event like that. But, you know, it's just a really good example. And then who knows? We try to give them the best experience they could have in a city so that they want to come back, so that they want to, you know, at the very least share on social media what a great time they're having. You know, that's sort of the new word of mouth. But, you know, the idea is we don't just get them once. We get them to come back and you know, who knows? Maybe they end up living, working, or playing in Cleveland.
And by its nature, mostly sporting events sometimes attract young people, either as the athletes themselves, participants, or just because it's sort of a new sport or something that they follow. And then, as you say, develop sort of a relationship with the city that you otherwise wouldn't have had. So
it's a great point. It's why NCAA championships are so important to us. You know, I don't care if it's March Madness or if it's, you know, Division III outdoor track and field, which we've hosted. We're exposing Northeast Ohio to a whole bunch of student athletes who may never have ever considered Cleveland, but maybe they're going to grad school in a couple years and their Cleveland experience maybe moves one of our local universities up on their list, you know. So there is really truly a ripple effect. And these events we bring just give people a good excuse to come visit our city.
Seems like it's more of a new approach. I don't remember growing up, as long as I did, that there was, you know, a sports commission in a sense. So it taps into a whole other, as you mentioned, sort of a group, and just the fact that there are all these kind of competitions, and with all this media, it's able to take something that's maybe very niche and small, but it explodes very quickly doing something like that.
Without question. Yep. That's our goal.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have the NFL draft April 29th through May 1st. The Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, Destination Cleveland, Cleveland Browns, of course, and the City of Cleveland, all excited to host this big event for people to find out more. They can check out the Cleveland Sports Commission. They can look at the NFL site for the draft and get that one pass and find out all about the excitement to be part of the experience, other than just watching it on TV the way we used to. For the most part. Mike, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing with us, and hope this event goes great.
We do too. Thanks for the opportunity. Good to be with you, Bruce.